Good evening, guys, and welcome back to the Celtic Way channel on X, Facebook and YouTube. You join us a few hours after the Celtic's 3-3 draw with Aberdeen, but Celtic winning 6-5 on penalties. Bit of a crazy game, a lot to discuss, plenty to discuss in the game, and I'm joined, as always, by Tony, who watched the game this afternoon. Before we go into the sponsor and talk about our latest offer that we've got on the website, what did you make of that?
I'm going to quote Sir Alex Ferguson, "Football, bloody hell," and we'll take it from there. Wow, what a football match. And you're smiling because you're on the right end of the result. If you weren't on the right end of the result, you would have been spewing, because Celtic had that game won 3 times, defensive frailties, but we'll talk about it. But yeah, just delighted. Semi-finals are all about getting in the final of the Scottish Cup, and Celtic have done that, so thankful for that. Relieved, I think.
Yep, Alan Robertson said relieved. I think everybody's relieved. Before we get started, I'd like to shout out our sponsors, as always, which is MPH Boilers and Weissman. Let me just get up the wee script that goes with that. 2 wee seconds. We're thrilled to have Weissman, who are a global leader in the boiler industry, known for their top-notch gym and engineering, sponsor our podcast. And what's more exciting, they've teamed up with Scotland's very own award-winning installation team, MPH Boilers, making this a perfect match right here in Scotland. Weissman's Boilers engineered to deliver not just warmth but unparalleled efficiency and reliability. We're talking about cutting edge technology that's designed to save you on energy bills and reduce emissions. With MPH Boilers, you know you're getting service from the best in the business, a local team that's committed to excellence and customer satisfaction. As part of this incredible partnership, when you choose a Weissman boiler installed by MPH Boilers, you also get a free internet controller, making it a breeze to manage your heating anytime, anywhere. Plus, they're offering the first year service free. It's all about giving you peace of mind and making sure you're looked after. So if your boiler is showing its age or you're considering an upgrade, this is your chance to get world-class engineering with local expert service. Weissman and MPH Boilers, it's a match made truly in Scotland. Make sure to check them out and take the first step towards a warmer, more efficient home. And I will just bring up our latest offer that we've got. We're still running this offer, Tony. 6 months of access for £1 plus a free Kyogo Furuhashi print. I know that they're in the post, so they'll be getting to people very, very soon, if they've not already. Not had any word back, but I'm sure they're in the post. I'm sure they were getting sent out. So if you have joined us on the website, and we thank you for doing so, your Kyogo print will be in the post, or it might have already arrived. I'll need to double check on that one. www.celticway.co.uk/subscribe. There is instant analysis on there from Tony. So there's player ratings from myself. There's post-match interviews from Brendan Rodgers, video from Brendan Rodgers as well, which is on the YouTube channel, as well as interviews with Liam Scales, Joe Hart, and and Brendan Rodgers as well. Yeah, I'm going through them all there. So if you want to join us, www.celticway.co.uk/subscribe. Right, let's get into this game. I sounded as if I was going to give you a telling off there, and I wasn't. It's been one of those days, hasn't it? It's just a day that you thought Celtic had wrapped it up one time, and then there was an equaliser. You thought they'd wrapped it up a second time, another equaliser. Crazy game, but at the very start, I think it's best to start it from the beginning. And what a terrible start from Celtic, you know, one ball, a great ball. I'm not sure who it was that played the ball through to Bojan Miovski, but he was on his bike and he put it past Joe Hart. Joe Hart got a save on it, but it wasn't enough and it went past. Was Cameron Carter-Vickers perhaps flat-footed in that? Was he caught out, or was it just the quality of the ball, would you say?
One, it was the quality of the pass. It was a brilliant pass. Can't take it away from the pass and also the execution. But I think Carter-Vickers and Liam Scales are too square on Miovski. And as you say, he was on his bike as soon as the pass was made and they were flat-footed and just caught cold. And I don't really think Celtic shook themselves out of that lethargy. Even when Kuhn equalised, when Kyogo robs Angus MacDonald, does really well. But I thought Kyogo should have scored it himself. Great defensive block, but Kuhn, great forward play by Kuhn, following it in and, you know, being in a position to profit if anything happened. And but what else? And I said this to you off air. If Celtic had lost that game, it would have given your great rivals across the city the biggest shot in the arm. But having won it the way they have done, it's a big shot in the arm for Celtic as well. Lots of mental fortitude there and strength, Ryan, you know. So just delighted and, mightily relieved to come through that, because Celtic were not at their best by any stretch.
No, I think we've got to underline that point, that Celtic were I don't know what's maybe the adjective to use to describe turgid. That's an adjective that's been used a lot this season. Not at the races is a phrase that you could use. They allowed Aberdeen into the game, and they gave Aberdeen confidence by the way that they were playing.
Yeah, and I stress the point as well, that if anybody thinks this league is over, it's not by a long shot, because that performance is still in Celtic, what you saw today. And I'm not saying it's worrying moving forward, but I think it's a warning shot over the bow. And I'm making the point in my instant analysis that to lose one injury time goal, you know, it's careless, but to lose another one in excess, bordering on criminal.
It's the same goal as well.
Same goal twice. You know, crosses coming into the box, and either your centre half deal with it. And you know, lots of people have had a downer on Scales recently, but Scales looked a frightened individual out there. He looked like a player that thought Majowski was going to terrorise him, and his prediction came true.
Yeah,
and got away with a handball. Don't think it was a penalty. I think it was outside the box, wasn't it? I think the TV pictures proved that.
I think it would have been given if it was inside the box.
Yeah, of course it would have been given, yeah, you know. So just don't think he recovered from that really bad start in terms of being square on with Majowski running through to score. And this is not a Liam Scales baiting session. I'm just saying he wasn't alone in not covering himself in glory. Yang, that's one of the worst 45 minutes I think I've ever seen from any offensive Celtic player at Hampden Park. Or however long he was on the park, he came out for the second half. But his first half performance was absolutely dreadful. And the guy that came on and replaced him, it's funny that I was talking up the Hampden specialist in midweek, and I wrote a big piece, the evergreen James Forrest, and he came on and did the business, didn't he?
Instant 2 minutes.
The first thing he did was going amazing.
Two chances.
It was desperately cleared. And the next thing he did, he's curled a beauty into the corner. It should have set Celtic up to go on, and it kind of did. With a period of dominance, which you and I were talking about, and you said they've got to score here. And he said to me, I've got a feeling this is going all the way, after he didn't score at that point. You know, there was a foreboding sense of doom. And so you could pick the bones out of a lot of what happened today, Ryan. The silver lining is that Celtic have the silver lining to look forward to on May the 25th.
Silver lining, the silverware, potentially. Yes. They're still in it. I was going to say they're in the hat for the next round, but they won't be a hat because they know that they'll be in the final. It's just all about that's the hat that's tomorrow. We'll find out tomorrow, round about this time. I'll be round about this time because it's a later kickoff tomorrow. But we will find out who will be joining Celtic in that final, whether it's Rangers or Hearts. But one thing is for sure, Celtic need to be better than they were today.
I also think you have to credit Aberdeen. Mm-hmm. You know, twice they were down and out, allegedly, but they really took it to Celtic, and they gave them a torrid time. At times, you know, desperate defending from Celtic at times. And they're normally unflappable, Cameron Carter-Vickers, you know, got caught up in that malaise as well. And you can argue the toss, but VAR has decided that's a foul on Greg Taylor that's given it. But Cameron Carter-Vickers was giving away a penalty. Mm-hmm. There's no two ways about it.
I think that one was Johnson. Johnson was the one that got fouled in the lead up. Yeah. Because it was a Junior Hoylett that penalised them and then was taken out by Carter Vickers. Now, we'll get on and talk about that in a wee second, but it's definitely something to talk about because Carter Vickers thought that he'd given away a penalty. You could see in his expression. He knew. He'd resigned himself to the fact.
Tell you all, right?
They're not very good poker face. They've not got the best poker faces, players at all.
Well, you look at the amount of last-minute concessions from Celtic this season. Motherwell, Kilmarnock, today twice at Hampden. There's been a lot of late goals scored against Celtic. Switching off. You know, when all you're asking players to do is see the game out, I don't know if it's a pressure thing or whatever, but it's an issue that badly needs addressed because it's cost Celtic. It could have cost them today, almost cost them today. And thankfully, they prevailed in the penalty shootout with Joe Hart being the sinner and then hero in the spot kick shootout. Unbelievable.
Shall we talk about one of the positives about today's game? I think, and it's a great attitude shown from a player who was making his first appearance at Hampden. There's a couple of players making their first appearance at Hampden. Yang didn't do as well. We've spoke about him. I don't want to make it too much of a Yang bashing show because, you know, he is a young player, still trying to make his way into the game. I also think the fact that he's played half a season in South Korea prior to coming to Celtic has had a big effect on him. Mm-hmm. We'll see if he plays in the Olympics for South Korea in the summer. That could maybe be something that curtails him even further. But a really, really poor 60 minutes. Although I did think he improved after the restart for that 15 minutes before he was taken off. But it couldn't have got any worse. It couldn't have been worse. And it's terrible to bash him, and I don't want to, but it was a really, really schoolboy-like performance from him.
Bereft of anything, very impetuous in his thinking. And at times he looked like a young boy playing men's football. You know, he'd no defensive tracking back inclination. You know, Celtic already paid the penalty with that with Rabbi Matondo's goal. And then you're thinking, well, at least going forward shows something. He didn't offer Celtic any kind of outlet in that first half. Marginally better the second, but things took an upturn when Forrest came on.
Yes, it did, but I want to talk about the equaliser, first of all, which came from Nicholas Kuhn, and it's all to do with Kyogo to begin with, because Angus McDonald is dilly-dallying on the ball in his own half. There's one player you don't do that in front of or in and around, and it's Kyogo. He will pick your pockets, and that's certainly what he did. It's a good block. Is it from Boutgartlinger? I'm not sure how to pronounce his name. I'd have to double check that. But it's a great block from him. It falls to Nicholas Kuhn, and it's great play from Kuhn following from the shot. He smells danger. He smells a chance at getting on the score sheet, and it's a great side-footed finish from Kuhn, who I thought was quite positive for most parts of the game in which he played.
Yeah, he was. He offered Celtic an outlet which Yang didn't. But yeah, you mentioned it. It's that anticipation, Ryan, that as Kyogo's running through, if he misses, there could be a rebound here. You know, players seeing things in pictures, and he might be thinking, if he gets a block, it might break to me. And he makes it look simple. It is a simple finish, but what's made it is the fact that he's followed Kyogo in. Lots of players would have been inclined to look at Kyogo going through one-on-one and think it's in the back of the net. Mm-hmm. No. He's got on his bike like Majorski did and thought, okay, let's see how this move unfolds and finishes. And the fact he kept his head and just rolled into an empty net. And you thought to yourself after that, right, Celtic had a bad 20 minutes. Let's get into it. But they didn't. And also as well, I thought Kuhn was bright. Alistair Johnson was very bright too throughout the whole contest. But Celtic's midfield struggled for large parts of that first half, certainly. Certainly Callum McGregor, I think everybody was delighted that he made the starting 11, but I think it was very apparent very soon that he's lacking match fitness. He wasn't 100%. And I said all week, only start him if he's 100%. And I just didn't think he was 100%. And I think that impinged on Matt O'Reilly's game and Rio Hatate's game.
Yeah. Certainly didn't help the midfield's chances. Maybe it could have been a game for Tomoki Iwata to start in. I know he came on and scored a really, really good penalty.
Yep.
I think it was a pressure penalty. All of them were pressure penalties. But that one was just given where the penalty shootout was heading. He had to keep a calm head, and he certainly did. I think he brings a calm head every time he comes onto the park. But Callum McGregor, right. I'd rather have 100% Callum McGregor or no Callum McGregor in the team. It's got to be 100% or nothing.
All or nothing.
Yeah, all or nothing. And there's other captain figures in that Celtic lineup too. But
yeah, you mentioned the penalties there. Both penalties were hit by substitutes, right? Lewis Palmer, Paolo Bernardo, Tomoki Iwata, and Adam Ida. Those guys, that's their impact coming off the bench today. Those guys scoring penalties have helped Celtic advance to the Scottish Cup final. Now, if you spit the dummy and you're upset at not playing, you know, players kind of, you know, lackadaisical maybe go up, but I think everybody had a sharp intake when Lewis Powell went up, but took a really good penalty.
It's a history, unfortunately.
Yeah. But hats off to all of those guys who stepped up to the plate. Joe Hart was unlucky with his penalty, smacks the post, but, you know, then produces the save that takes him through, so fair play to him. But just that impact that the manager talks about all the time and guys coming on and making a contribution. Adam Ida made an excellent contribution, thought he scored a header, ruled out for offside, then missed an absolute cinch, didn't he? I thought it was an absolute cinch and somehow got his feet tangled up. But he's still a handful and he still gives you something when he's coming on. Paolo Bernardo as well, getting forward. Tomoki getting forward. So, you know, as you say, if Callum McGregor's not fit, he shouldn't be playing.
No.
And he's not match fit. He might be fit in a sense for, you know,
for a treadmill, not a game of football.
Yeah, I know. And a lot of Celtic's problems stemmed from that today, that the captain just wasn't 100% at it, and it affected the others around him because they were trying to do too many things at once. I mean, that's my take on it. I don't know if others share that view.
Yeah, I think in terms of Adam Eder, you make the point about Adam Eder. I thought he looked dangerous when he came on, but dangerous up until a point where he had two chances. I think he had one in regulation time and normal time, and then one in extra time. He's got to score both chances that are given to him. It's a great block. I think it's Rubizic that blocks him. I think that's the one that's in normal time. It's very difficult to talk about all these moments because you've had the 90 minutes, you also had the half an hour, and then you've got the penalty shootout. So you're trying to remember them all, and you're trying to be chronological, but maybe you're getting some of the chances, the big moments, but it's the same players. Adam Eder was getting in those right positions. He just didn't have his shooting boots on for whatever reason. He scored a header, but he was offside as well, showing that he was able to take those chances. It's just for one reason or another, he was either injured, not injured, he was either offside or he was just rash.
And I've seen a lot of Twitter debating, no, he signed Adam Eder, Bojan Majovski in the summer, you know, that kind of thing. I think both of them showcased what they had today, and I think both of them would be ideal Celtic players moving forward. You can see them, you know, being future Celtic players. So that's up to Celtic to rekindle or renew any interest that they had in Bojan Majovski. If they want to sign Bojan Majovski, they should go and do it. If they want to sign Adam Eder, I still think they should be asking the question about Adam Eder, because I think he brings you something. He's very Georgios Giakoumakis-esque. So
I get a bit of stick for comparing him to Edward ever so slightly, but I think it's just because of his movement and his low centre of gravity, even though he's, I think he's over 6 foot. He is he's a pest in the box and around the box, and he's a runner as well. I know maybe Edward sort of lost that in his last season, or some people could say that he lost that in his last season, but Eder seems desperate to put in the hard yards and make things happen in and around the penalty box and beyond.
And you can't say that in every game he's came on, he's impacted the proceedings. So,
positively or negatively, you know, he missed that penalty early on against Hearts, but that's probably the only blow in his copybook thus far.
He didn't miss today, did he, in the shootout?
No. So first play, in fact.
In the first play, they got him to take it.
That's so something that we've got to mention as well.
You know, he missed his last one and Celtic lost that match, but, you know, said confident enough to go up there and took a really good penalty. So, you know, listen, Celtic will sign who they sign in the summer, and If it turns out to be Adam Eder, he will be warmly embraced by the Celtic supporters. If it is Bojan Majovski, again, he'll be warmly embraced by the Celtic supporters. It's a very right for debate today because you saw the two of them up at close quarters. And you know, Bojan Majovski continues to impress, doesn't he? And he terrorised Scales today.
Not for the first time.
Correct. And I'm going to say something as well. If I'm Aberdeen and I'm the new manager, Jimmy Thielen, is it?
Jimmy Thielen,
if you spell his pronounce his name. I'm saying, do I really want to get rid of Peter Leaven? Peter Leaven has twice tactically played Celtic and he's not lost. One each draw and a three each draw, and for periods in both matches, he looked as if he was going to get the better of Celtic. So, you know, if I'm Jimmy Thielen coming in, I'm looking around at my staff, and I know you want to bring your own staff in, but I'd be very reticent to shove Peter Leaving out the door, because he's clearly got something as a coach, and I applaud the way Aberdeen went about their business today. They made it very hard for Celtic, and a lot of that will be down to Peter Leaving's coaching, and you have to acknowledge that and say fair play to them. They gave it their all, and you wonder why they're in such trouble in the Scottish Premiership when they're capable of producing performances like that.
Got the individuals as well.
It baffles me greatly, but I thought Celtic were fortunate today and got the rub of the green when it mattered, and won the game twice and still contrived to throw it away against an Aberdeen side who just refused to lie down. It's a great win for Celtic in the end, and they're mightily relieved, and the way they did it shows a lot, as I say, mental fortitude, strength of character, call it all that kind of stuff. But they got away with one today because they weren't at it for long spells in the match, were they?
You look at the timings of Aberdeen's goals in particular, you know, the second minute, the 90th minute, the 119th minute, they're picking their times to score, either whether that's early on in the game or right at the depth. And it shows that they were in and they were there or thereabouts throughout the whole game. We were speaking about it, we were very close to the pitch, so you could see what was going on quite clearly. Celtic were sitting off Junior Hoylett, especially with putting that cross into the box, you know. He's a former Premier League player, played for QPR in the Premier League, played in the Championship with QPR too. He's a guy that's got a good delivery on him, and Celtic allowed him to put a ball into the box. I believe it was him that put the ball in twice for the two goals. Yeah. So, you know,
late goals are costing Celtic. Ryan, I mentioned Motherwell.
Paul comes in and says that losing late goals worries me. It doesn't. Losing late goals and losing early goals are two terrible.
A couple of weeks ago against Rangers at Ibrox. You know, so the bottom line is Celtic won the game, right? Doesn't matter how you win, but that's why the five games are going to be nerve shredders, because that performance, they're still capable of that, but they're also capable of playing. There were some good moments today as well, but they just failed to kill Aberdeen off at 2-1 and again at 3-2 and made life difficult for themselves when it didn't need to be. But I credit Aberdeen for that more than anything else. But, you know, I think a great test of Celtic's character and strength of resolve, and they've got that in abundance. So, and also, you know, being able to prevail in the penalty shootout, because, you know, it was mightily important that Celtic got through this final today, and can't underestimate that. And had they lost that, then it could have sent them backwards in terms of what's coming up next, the next five league games. So you park the final, May the 25th, reconvene then, and you know, you've got five league games to get better and see it through, see it over the line.
Yeah, it should be chat about James Forrest for a bit. Do you reckon? I know we spoke about him a bit at the start. We said that he's a player you called for him to start in this game. I'm hoping that his injury at the end, it doesn't keep him out for too long, because he was a massive, massive player in the time that he was on the pitch for Celtic. He took care of the ball. That's the difference between Yang and Forrest. Yang's faster than Forrest. That's down to age. But
he was a catalyst for turning the game in Celtic's favour, wasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm one of his biggest critics, and I feel bad in saying that, because I know what he's capable of. I know he can he can have poor performances, but I also know that he's capable of big moments in big games.
Six Hamden goals, Ryan.
It should have been seven with the chance that he had near the end.
As you say, he takes care of the ball, and also as well, he brings others into it, and he's fast, he's direct, and also he's just an experienced head. He can calm other players down and say, look, you know, yeah, I think the Celtic players got a real lift and were inspired by Forrest's introduction. I see the first thing he does, going amazing, desperate defending, clears the ball. Next thing he does is colour a wonderful daisy cutter, bottom corner, past Kilroos. And everybody just get lifted by that. And, you know, after that, Celtic had their incessant pressure where you thought this could go 3-1, 4-1, and it would be a procession to the final, you know, running up the last minutes and so, but it wasn't. It should have been, but it wasn't. But James Forrest was a catalyst for that. He kind of lit the forest fire under the Celtic players for a certain period in the game, and did really, really well. And, you know, you watch these things and you think to yourself, you're not being wise. I did call for him to be included at the start because I wasn't convinced with Yang. And I don't think
anybody was looking at social media, to be honest.
Palmer either, because Palmer gave the ball away for the equaliser, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Right at the end, he came on with only a couple of minutes to go, and he has one job to do, see the game out. Yes, he did make up for it with his penalty. He also did some nice things in extra time as well. There was a nice turn in particular that he had, that he took out a couple of players, put the ball over his head. He's came out on Instagram after the game and said that there's other factors to do with his failure to get back to the top form that he was showing in the first half of the season. Hoping if that is the case, then I'm hoping he can get back to good form in due course, because he can be a really talented player. The talent's there. We all know the talent's there. Mm-hmm. Seen him score a screamer at Dingwall. I was there in person watching that goal. Absolute screamer. He scored against Atletico Madrid, should have scored against Lazio. He's a big game player who has big moments that just isn't up to that standard at this point in time. Whatever it is, on the pitch, off the pitch, I'm hoping that he can deal with that relatively quickly and get back into the hunt.
Well, I think James Forrest schooled him today in terms of wing play and what you do on a Hampden Park and on an occasion such as this. You know, Kuhn played well too, but I think if you want to know how to be an effective Celtic winger, then you just play back James Forrest's contribution today, which can't be underestimated. And as I say, the manager rated him the best winger at the club, and he always felt that he was going to have a say, and hopefully you say that his injury won't keep him out over the course of the next five games, because that would be a blow to Celtic, because he's still good for that. As I say, I would have started him and played him for the hour and then brought Yang on possibly. But as it turned out, it's worked out on Celtic's favour going the other way. But you just look at it, you just compare and contrast, and it's night and day between Forrest and Yang's contribution today. Kuhn's contribution was excellent too.
I'm going to bring a double question your way. I'm going to try and incorporate the two of this into the one question. So Sokler scores in the 90th minute. Mm-hmm. How are you feeling? Sum up your emotions when Sokler scores that. It sneaks in at the back post. I'm going to need to watch the goal again. I'm going to dissect them all tomorrow as part of a content bit for the Celtic Way website, so keep an eye out on that. But it just felt it was a sucker punch, and especially with the 6 minutes to go as well. I think there was five or 6 minutes added time as well. You thought Celtic are going to need to cling on for the next couple of minutes and get the instructions of the manager, or else they're in a bit of bother.
Deflating, wasn't it? But you saw them, you know, slowly retreating. And we looked at each other, didn't we? And we went, they're going to score. We just felt it coming.
They were sitting off Junior Hoylett. It was Junior Hoylett that got the two assists. They were sitting off him.
It wasn't a surprise to either of us, was it? But it was pretty deflating, because you thought a team of this calibre with those players on the park should be good enough to see it out. And that's been Celtic's Achilles heel, as I've said. And it is a worry. And, you know, they've got five games to go in the league where, you know, they have to beat their best. They have to bring their A game. And they brought nothing like their A game today. But somehow, bottom line is, they won, they're through. I'm happy with that. I'm pretty relieved, actually. And I'm sure when I go home and I analyse it and watch it again, I'll be even happier. But there are grounds and cause for concern, but I'm sure the manager will address that moving forward.
It's always better to have concern after a game that you've won, and you can sort these things knowing that your team is in the final, and thank goodness for that. You know, it was a whirlwind. There was a couple of people in the comments saying they had to go and lie down after the game. Don't know about us lying down, but we're definitely sat back after full time as we were doing the work, of course. But
you're a captive audience.
It was an exhausting game to watch. It was a whirlwind. I'm sure it was on the TV as well, but being at the game, being in the press box, it was a whirlwind game, and definitely one that you were all in on. Doing the instant analysis and the player ratings, I'm sure you had it in the instant analysis too. It was difficult because you were changing them four or five times during the game. You know, Joe Hart maybe went from like a 6 or a 7 to a 9 thanks to his penalty save at the end. You know, you get players that are going up and down in ratings as the game goes on. But yeah, just going into extra time, and Celtic thought that they had the game dead and buried, and in first half of extra time, injury time or additional time, Matt O'Reilly, it's a great cutback from Alistair Johnston, phenomenal. I thought he was one of Celtic's better players on the day. I think he's been Celtic's best player this calendar year. I got a bit of stick online for saying that. I think he's making a late push, or one of the late pushes for player of the season, due to this second half of the season form. It's that up in the air that I don't think there is any outstanding candidate that somebody in the next five games in the league, 6 games if you count the final as well, they can really make a claim to be player of the season in this crunch time. But what a cutback from Johnston to Matt O'Reilly, and Matt O'Reilly just does what he does best and kissed it into the back of the net almost.
One of the few times that Matt O'Reilly actually got it bang on the money, because his control when he's passing today was a bit awry, and it stunned me when it came over the channel that he'd won the Man of the Match award.
I think that's because he scored that goal, to be honest. I don't think it was anything.
Yeah, of course. But you've just picked out a player there, Alistair Johnston, who, to me, was Celtic's best player. I'm trying to think of a better one. Kuhn was okay. But Alistair Johnson, to me, was excellent throughout. I think he was a standout Celtic player, in my opinion, to what I was watching. He got forward to good effect. And that cutback, you can't defend against that when you're low and hard and paces on the ball, take a touch, or even first time into the top corner. You know, that's impossible to defend if the guys who are reading it see the situation. And again, Matt O'Regley's one of these guys that sees the game in pictures, so he deserves credit for going in there and realising, right, Johnson might cut this ball back to this area. And the finish is sublime. And again, like James Forrest's goal, that goal should have been the winner. Like Adam Eder's goal at Ibrox should have been the winner. But again, they weren't. And it's Celtic's defensive frailties that are causing them, you know, shooting themselves in the foot, causing them concern.
See, whatever we said about Sokler's goal from about 2 minutes ago, copy that, paste that right here in this point here, because it was the exact same goal, that far post creeping in, although it was McDonald that got the killer touch, who made amends for his earlier mistake early on in the game. It's another great ball by Junior Hoylett. It's a carbon copy.
It's on the money.
It is on the money.
It's just begging to be headed home. And Kostler duly obliged the first cross, Angus McDonald obliged the second, and the Celtic defence was all at sea for both. And that's where you pinpoint it, Ryan. You sort of say, where are you guys? You know, where's the central defence? You know, Cameron Carter-Vickers isn't exempt from that just because he's big Cameron Carter-Vickers. Where's the towering centre-half to throw themselves at that? Because it's the last minute in both normal time and injury time. Where's Liam Scales? Where are these guys? You know, and I know they say, oh, it's the back post and they're central maybe marking, but you know, anticipation, the guy's going to fling a ball into the box, so where do you think it's going to go? Well, do you know what? There's a fair chance he's going to aim for somebody coming on it. So be aware of, spatially aware of your surroundings, and you know, you're not asking them to do anything that's alien to their nature, as I said before. See, when the ball's in the air, go and win it. An aggressive, hungry centre.
Put your body in the line.
You know, and I don't know, and I'm loath to have I go at Carter Vickers, but I thought today was one of his, you know, not worst performance, but not a performance that you would turn on and say he was excellent or his usual 8-9.
Imperious best. He wasn't there.
Well below that today. And again,
I give him an 8.
Again, I'll go back to it and I think that Majorski
might have been a 7, actually.
Majorski spooks him. I know he wasn't on the park at that particular time, but I just think they've been spooked and they've been put off their natural game. And both him and Scales, and they do. And when that happens, you do things. You don't do things that you would normally do. You deviate from, you know. Okay, you've got to go and head both of them away. Right?
I've got to mention his block. I can't remember exactly who it's on, but there's a block a couple of minutes before they concede that goal. And it may have actually been in normal time. I'm still trying to figure out what's normal time and extra time. It's been that long. It's been a long day, guys. A great block on the line from Carter Vickers. It's beaten Joe Hart. From close range. And he does the basics so well. It's just maybe sometimes he doesn't get to that same level. And when he does make mistakes, it's obvious.
I think when he falls below that massively high bar that he set for himself, you tend to notice it. And you notice it today. Celtic lost 2 goals from bread and butter cross. In fact, 3 goals, 2 bread and butter crosses, and then a square defence against a guy who's on his bike in the first couple of minutes. You know, what would you always say?
Got him cold.
Yourself. I know, I mean, it's a cracking pass. I'm not taking any away from the pass, and I'm not taking any away from the finish, but Celtic were caught cold. And that kind of set the template for a few players' performances today. They were not at it. You know, but somehow they've dredged themselves back into it and got themselves over the line. It's kind of microcosmic of the season, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The way they're kind of, you know, dragging themselves over the line. Today there was no finesse and no style about it, but they got the job done. And I guess if the next 5 games are going to be mirror images of that, then hopefully Celtic have got enough to get the job done. But, you know, it's just that worrying signs for me there, Ryan.
Yeah. Going on to the penalty shootout. All Celtic's outfield players scored their penalties, which only tells half the story. You know, you'd think, oh, they're perfect from the spot. Nope, Joe Hart stepped up. I remember he took a penalty, I think it was against Roma, in the International Challenge Cup, one of the pre-season friendlies for Man City, and he put it right in the roof of the net. He didn't do the same today. I think he was trying to go for as low as possible. Brendan Rodgers was saying after the game that he was maybe trying to stretch Kelleher since he was injured. That was a unique moment, I think, in terms of a goalkeeper. Yeah. I know I've seen a lot of unique moments from goalkeepers in the past couple of days. You look at Emi Martinez that actually gets sent off in the penalty shootout. Then today, we've seen a goalkeeper actually pull up and had to get treatment during the penalty shootout. Somebody in the comments, I think, seems he was wasting time for the penalty to get taken. It was a surreal moment. You know, the first seven, I'm just having a wee look, the first five penalties are perfect.
The penalty shootout was just surreal from the moment it kicked off. Because Adam Eder goes up and you're thinking he missed his last one, scores it with ease, and then you're thinking, right, Joe Hart's record with penalties is not the best. You know, as you say, the first five or six go in the net, don't they?
Yep.
And then the drama of it all starts to unfold.
So for both sides, the first five penalties are perfect. When you combine Celtic's three that they took and Aberdeen's three, Ryan Duncan then misses the penalty for Aberdeen. Paolo Bernardo scores to make Celtic go ahead. In fact, no, it was the other way about. He missed the penalty. Celtic had, did they have a penalty to win it or a penalty?
Yeah, Joe Hart had a penalty to win it.
And he slams the post. What were you thinking when Joe Hart hit the post? You're like, why are you taking a penalty?
No, do you know what? I'd never ever slag players who take a penalty in a penalty shootout. You know, it takes nerve, it takes bottle. Anybody can miss a penalty. When you saw him lining up, you were like, okay, might have been weird and strange in somebody's eyes, but the manager said that they'd been practicing during the days, Thursday and the Friday, and he was taking them with ease and scoring. So that's fine. I'm all for that. I mean, he's hit the post. He's unlucky, but when he misses, you just think, oh dear, is that going to come back and haunt us? But then your thought is, well, it's up to you now to redeem yourself.
Atone
for that error, and he did. And so his fairy tale, you know, climax to his career kind of goes on. And, you know, so good luck to him and well done to him. And that's a silver lining on this game, Ryan, that Celtic are in the Scottish Cup final and, you know, are still on course for a Scottish Premiership and Scottish Cup double and silverware. It doesn't matter how you do it. You've got to win semi-finals. They found a way to win. Wasn't it pretty? It wasn't great. But, hey, the result is all that matters, isn't it? Nobody will look... In fact, actually, they will look back on this because they'll say it was a classic match. It was a thrilling match for the neutral. Not good for the nerves of Celtic supporters who were there and up and down the country watching on TVs. But they're in the final, and I think the manager stressed that too. Semi-finals are all about winning, and he kept up his record. That's the 10th time he's been here, and he's not lost. So he's hoping he can do it once more the 25th of May.
Absolutely. Let me get this order right. So I'm going to go through it. So Adam Eder scores the first penalty. Jamie McGrath then scores to make it one each. Lewis Palmer scores. Then Angus McDonald scores. So that's two each. Matt O'Reilly scores. And then Esther Sokler scores. That makes it three each. Paolo Bernardo scores to make it 4-3. Ryan Duncan then misses. So it's 4-3 to Celtic. Joe Hart has a chance to win the penalty shootout. He misses, so it's still 4-3 to Celtic. Junior Hoylett then steps up and scores his, makes it 4 each. Alistair Johnson calmly puts his away. Right. A brilliant penalty from Alistair Johnson, who clearly loved every bit of it as he scored. Always understands the assignment. Absolutely. I really like what Johnson brings to this team in terms of a charismatic character. So he scores it to make it 5-4. Jack Milne, the substitute, he scores to make it 5 each. Tomoki Iwata steps up and makes it 6-5.
Takes the best penalty of the shootout.
It's a pressure penalty as well. Killian Phillips then steps up and he has his saved by Joe Hart, who missed that penalty of his own. So it turned out Celtic were the winners and heading into the final. What were your thoughts at full time? Was it a relief more than a joy?
My thought at full time was, how are we going to write all this? in terms of instant analysis. How do you sum all of this up?
I think it was a not so instant analysis today, given how much the game changed. It's live football. This is what happens. Not every game is going to be a walk in the park, and that certainly wasn't a walk in the park. It was an absolutely mental game, as Liam Scales said in his post-match interview.
It's
on the website.
He called it mental. I think your overriding feeling was relief. Did you get away with one? Possibly. Aberdeen played as well as they could play, and they gave you a right good game. But as I say, there's a strength and a depth of character to that Celtic team, and. You know, it's just a switching off at vital times, Ryan, you know, when the game's almost finished, but it's not. And you've seen it happen too many times this season. So really need to address that. And the kind of goals that they're losing, you know, they lost from a bread and butter cross against Kilmarnock as well, didn't they? Header. They lost a goal from a corner against Motherwell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They lost to Rabbi Matton, but they didn't lose. I'm not saying lost to... They lost, you know, conceded last minute equalisers, and Matondo's was due to Yang.
A lot of people treated that as a loss, including myself.
Well, you know, switching off, not tracking back, doing things. No, so there's issues there. Delighted to be through to the cup final, absolutely delighted. But I think we're going to have to accept now as well that, and we were talking about this, about, you know, that the honeymoon period is definitely over for Liam Scales. Don't know how Mike Nogrovsky would have coped today, but, you know, there's a concern with Liam Scales in terms of just the overall dips in form that he's had. Given the nod by the manager, because he clearly likes him. But I think if you're Mike Nogrovsky, you're saying, I've got a chance here of featuring in these next five games. I'm going to show the manager in training that I want to be part of this and I want to play. And so that's just my thoughts.
Yeah, Scales is a bit of a... I didn't think he had a great afternoon whatsoever, but he wasn't the only one that didn't have a great afternoon. We've spoke about Yang at length. We've spoke about Matt O'Reilly having one of his poorer games, although he did score an absolute screamer. Or a well-worked goal, I would say. Maybe not a screamer. It's a well-taken finish, but it's a well-worked team goal and a really good finish from a player that, you know, is scoring goals recently. Thankfully for that, because he dried up quite a bit in recent games, you would say. Is there any other talking points from the game? You know, any preference on what team you would want to face in the final? Just watch what happens tomorrow and see. It's in the back burner.
It's the 24th of May. Date synonymous with Celtic's history, and we all know that. Bring anybody on, Ryan, whoever it is. To the victor that spoils tomorrow in the other semi-final, you've got the, as I say, like Wednesday night, you had the luxury of just sitting back and watching the drama unfold. And what I will say is, whoever it is Celtic facing the final, Rangers or Hearts, at that same stadium, they're going to have to be 10 times better than what they were today, and turn up and be ready for it. And I'm not saying they weren't ready for it. They were ready for it, but they just got caught cold and, you know, and only played in fits and starts. And at Hampden, you very rarely get away with it. Got away with it today.
Probably Rodgers' poorest performance at Hampden, you would say. I'm trying to think of other games. You know, the Aberdeen Invincible Treble, it was up and down, but they had their dominance and then they won it. I can't think of another game like that for Rodgers. I think that's the closest it's been to Rodgers losing that invincible streak. Yeah, the invincible streak at Hampden. Yeah. It's an incredible record that he's got, and he's keeping it going. He'll be hoping to keep it going on the 25th of May. As you said, a date synonymous with Celtic history, if you know your history and all that I wrote the other day. Regardless of who it is, Celtic have done their job and they're in the final. It doesn't matter who they play against, because Celtic are one of the names that will be on that team sheet come 25th of May.
And I think both of us will need to go home and watch it all over again, because you're seeing it in real time. We have a TV screen, but you're also writing as well. So a lot of your attention is diverted to your laptop as you type away and then you're looking up. So I need to go home and really dissect it all again and see subtle nuances, which you're hoping that we, what we've spoken about on the pod is what everybody was seeing, and what you were seeing, you know, correlates to that and equates to that, because you know, it's, you know, when you are seeing it in real time and you're caught up in it all, and you know, you're thinking about various things, you know, you're thinking about your man by man, you're watching 11, 13, 14, 15, 16 players.
Every movement of all those players, yeah. Direct,
you know, and whereas I'm trying to pick out four or five topics for analysis. So you're thinking, okay, the defensive frailties, Kuhn scoring, you know, Adam Uda coming on and impacting the game, you know, stuff like that, James Forrest impact, that kind of stuff. So you're watching certain players at certain times because you're formulating something in your head. So yes, you are watching and you're seeing, but there are things that can largely pass you by because you've got your head in your computer and then you're kind of looking. But I think Aberdeen emerged with credit today, not saying Celtic don't. Biggest credit you can give Celtic emerging from today is winning.
So,
and that's that, and I'm delighted with that. There's something about the Celtic team just now that, no, there is a bit between your teeth, and even when they're not performing well, they can somehow, you know, stagger over the line, call it what you like, but they can get it over the line, and that's a great trait to have as well.
Certainly is. Is there anything else that you want to talk about? Or I know that we've been going for about 45 minutes. Is there anything else that really stands out from the game? The Carter Vickers penalty incident, you know, it was given as a foul on Johnston beforehand, so you know, people will moan about that, and it'll be a talking point for sure. But
if you're Aberdeen, you're spewing.
It's one of those ones. I tweeted it out about a minute after it was given against Aberdeen, that Celtic have got away with one there big time.
And it goes against you, you'd be spewing as well. I think people are saying as well that it is a foul. Yeah, it's a foul, and I guess that's why it wasn't given. But I've seen it a couple of times, saw it in real time, and I've seen it a couple of replays. I've not seen it from every angle or watched it, but yeah, I'm not entirely convinced that it's a bona fide 100% foul, but a foul's a foul, isn't it? So, but I thought they were a bit lucky to get away with that one. The Scales one is outside the box, so again, I think you said it earlier that if it's inside the box, it gets given. It didn't.
Absolutely.
I went with Cameron Carter's reaction. He was crestfallen at the thought that Celtic were going to get a penalty awarded against him. And as players, you know, and as spectators, you know, when you watch players, the reaction tells you everything that you need to know.
Shoulders fell. It's as if he was like, and you felt for him because he was, even though he wasn't having his best game, he did have some big moments and he was putting his body on the line. You're like, anybody but Carter Vickers, you know, a guy that you can rely upon for like 40, 50 games a season if he's fit.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't want it to be Carter Vickers. It was the difference between Celtic winning or losing the game.
But, you know, they've got through it. The decision of VAR and the referee was that it wasn't a penalty. So I don't believe in this kind of, it evens itself out and swings and roundabouts. I don't believe in that, Ryan. But
I knew there was a buck coming.
I think if you're Celtic, you take it when you're the beneficiary of it. But as I say, if you're Aberdeen, I think you're asking questions, aren't they? Because I know that if it happened down the other end, the Celtic supporters would be all over it, wouldn't they?
It'll be an interesting talking point in the days to come, you know, that it all gets spoken about, as well as the Scales handball as well. But, you know, we've been going for 48 minutes. I think we have covered absolutely everything. Celtic will face either Hearts or Rangers in the Scottish Cup final. Who that will be, we'll find out very, very soon, in just under 24 hours, when both teams take to hand in the same pitch, to find out who will join Celtic in the final. It'll be a tasty tie either way, Hearts or Rangers, you know, that takes care of itself, you know. Two rivalries against two teams, definitely.
Enjoy.
Yeah, let's just enjoy.
If you're that way inclined, and you watch the opposition, I know I will. Just I'm, you know, watching a lot of Scottish football, so I'll watch it. And you want to see what either of them can produce. If it's anything like the drama today, then you're in for a treat.
The neutrals had a treat today. That's definitely one thing. And I think that's a good way to sort of close it off. The neutrals had a treat today. Two teams that were desperate for a final place, but Celtic got the better of Aberdeen. You know, hopefully Aberdeen can keep that going for the rest of the season and stay where they probably belong in the Premiership. Because if they play like that, then, you know, they've got every chance of staying in the division, and staying in the division by a clear mile. They're a team that, if they play like that every week, they wouldn't be where they are.
As I said, the new manager's got a lot to work with, but first thing I would be saying to Peter Leaven is, you can stay. You're a guy I can work with, and I think you've got something. And failing that, what an addition that was for Peter Leaven to say to potential suitors, come and get me. I kind of know what I'm doing here. I can set teams up, because I bigged him up earlier, and I'll big him up again. That's twice he set up his teams to play Rodgers teams, and you know, he emerges with huge credit, because he's emerged unscathed. He's not been beaten. He's been beaten on penalties in one game and drawn both in regulation games. So I think you be magnanimous in that sense and say he's clearly got something. And but it wasn't enough at the end of the day to see his team march on to the final. It's Celtic that march on. And the quest for a record 42nd Scottish Cup trying goes on, and Hart to bow out. Joe Hart being the hero. You're hoping Joe Hart's the hero again come 25th of May. I'd settle for that, Ryan.
And what a final game to, you know, ride off into the sunset, hopefully with a Scottish Cup in his hand. Number 42, you mentioned number 42. Cal McGregor, number 42, let's hope he's fit and ready for that game. I'm sure he will be. They'll ease him in. From now until the end of the season, there'll be a bit of an easing process for him to get fully fit. Probably for Steve Clarke as well, for the Euros, especially with the injuries that are going about. Especially today, Stuart Armstrong picked up an injury too. So that's a definitely a problem area for Scotland going forward. Thank you to everybody that's joined us. And I'd also like to say a thank you to all of our YouTube subscribers. We hit that magical 10,000 number a couple of days ago. I was off when it happened, but I didn't miss out on it. I knew that was going to be the case. I knew we were very close to getting it. So thank you to each and every one of you that have subscribed to the YouTube channel. If you haven't done so already, please do so, because it's completely free, and you'll get notifications when Tony and I go live, when our post-match press conferences go live, when the morning briefing with Hamish, Tony, Kevin and I, when they go live. So if you're looking for that and you're looking to be notified when we do go live, then please press that subscribe button. Completely free. If you want to support us just that little bit further, and get your hands on a special Kyogo Fura Hashu print that's getting sent out right now, then please visit the Celtic Way website. 6 months of access plus a free Kyogo print from made by Frankie, who's done work with the Scotland national team as well as Manchester United and other organisations. celticway.co.uk/subscribe. Instant analysis is on there. Player ratings are on there, as well as all the pre-match and the post-match interviews. There's no pre-match, because they would get lost. Post-match interviews. It's been a long day, hasn't it, Tony?
It's been a long day.
And finally, thank you to our sponsors of the video today, MPH Group. We really do appreciate them. Sponsoring every single video that we do, both pre, post-match, morning briefing, etc., etc. Please check out all their links are in the description of this video. My name's Ryan McGinley. I've been joined by Tony Haggerty. I'll leave you with the final word, Tony. What are you thinking?
I'm just thinking I'm going home for a lie down. Maybe put the highlights on and relive it in the comfort of knowing that Celtic get the result. But as I said at the top of the programme, and I'll say it again, Sir Alex Ferguson famously said, football, bloody hell. I think those three words describe today, don't they?
Best sport in the world, bar none. And that's the reason why we watch it and continue to cover it, watch it and go to it as spectators, as fans, or as journalists as well. You know, it's these games. It was a classic at Hampden today, 3-3 between Celtic and Aberdeen, though Celtic won 6-5 on penalties. Joe Hart missing a penalty, then saving one from Aberdeen from Killian Phillips. We'll be back here on the 25th of May to cover everything, but we'll be back even sooner on Monday morning, where we will be dissecting this game with Hamish, who I'm sure sure was watching. I think he was. I seen tweets that he was watching the game, so he got up for the game, which is absolutely brilliant to see. We'll be back on Monday. Please check the website for more content and more info and get involved in that subscriber offer that we've got going on. Thank you to everybody that has joined us on this stream. And yeah, enjoy the rest of your night. Celtic are in the Scottish Cup final. Cheers, guys.